On that wonderful Christ this morning provided so much for us. Shall we turn to the 19th chapter of John's Gospel? John 19. And we will begin with verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. There was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Verse 30, I want to speak this morning on It is finished. This is not a cry of defeat, not a cry of resignation, as in my life is over, but it is rather a cry of great triumph, victory, and accomplishment. This little word, it, refers to a great number of things. This statement embodies, it is finished, embodies a great number of things that were finished there at the cross. They were completed, and again, they were and are accomplishments. The first one that we see here is in verse 26 and 27. Jesus saw his mother there, and he said, Woman, behold thy son, then to the disciple, behold thy mother. This finished Jesus' obligation to his responsibility to his most precious earthly possession, which was his mother. He did not go and leave her unattended, made sure that everything was right concerning her. This is a wonderful expression of the tremendous relationship that existed between John and Jesus. I know that there are many in our world today who just despise the idea that Jesus would love one disciple above another. They consistently insist that he loved them all, which he did. But there was a special love, a special affection, a special desire that Jesus had for John, and indeed that John had for Jesus. That is manifested in a number of ways. Could not all of the disciples have leaned their head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper? Of course they could. But they didn't have that relationship and that freedom and that liberty that had built between those two. We find out that John was willing, had the liberty, knew he would not be reproached in asking questions that the others were too timid to answer. And then, of course, one of the striking beauties of this, of the relationship that John had, is the entire book of Revelation. That precious truth that Jesus was willing to commit into the hand of John, and he was faithful to deliver it. And of course, here, Jesus committing his own mother into the hand of John, and again, thus finishing the obligation that he had, the last thing that he would do on his earth, on this earth, before he cried out, "It is finished." Well, my obligation to my mother is finished at that time, and he had measured up to every requirement that there was of him. We'll not turn here. I'm sure you remember it very well. As I said, there are a great many things that were finished here at the cross. We are just going to visit a few of them. And so this one, it's found in John 17:4, where that this is, of course, the great prayer of intercession. This is, as we have noted many times, the Lord's Prayer. And in that wonderful message that Jesus delivered unto his Father, he said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He announces that here as his dying words there on the cross, "It is finished." And so he meant that his work was finished. It was done. It was complete. And of course we know this is the work of redemption. This is the will of God that has been finished, because Christ has been so faithful and obedient even to the death of the cross. All of the will of God has been accomplished at this time. And so it is this to which he refers, "It is finished." I want to notice when Jesus made that statement, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do," it was stated before he was arrested. It was stated before the suffering he went through there in the garden. It was stated before he was ever delivered to the cross. But he makes the statement because it was as good as done. He announces it as though it had already happened, but it was just as good if he had already completed it. I thought of Luke as Luke portrays him there in Luke 22. Before he suffered, before he went to the cross, we find out that Jesus said, "I have desired," that is at the Last Supper, "before I suffer, I want to eat this supper with you." And so this statement made, of course, before that suffering ever came to pass. Again, it was made before the tremendous battle, the tremendous struggle that he had there in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, John doesn't report that. You know, the scripture is just so marvelous. The four Gospels are one of the greatest proofs of the inspiration of the power of the Holy Ghost. These four men taken from different places, different angles, and it took all four of them to portray the fullness of the redemption which we have in Christ and what he has done. As we have seen many times, Luke presents him as the Son of Man, and that is so very important to know that he came down and he identified in every sense of the word with us. John presents him as the Son of God. And so that's why that there is no struggle. There is no if, ands, or buts. There is no question whatever. "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do, as good as done." And indeed it was. It's the same way in Luke's gospel. There was no turning back. There was no way Jesus was going to skirt around this. There was no way that he was not going to fulfill his Father's will. But Luke gives us the portrait. He gives us the picture of Jesus as a man wrestling with that. John doesn't do that because it was already complete in the mind of Jesus as the Son of God. "I've already finished the work. I've already completed all God's purposes." Let us next turn to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. again for some things that have already been finished. And it is so important that men realize and understand that. The reason for that is because if we do not see these things that are finished, we will never lay hold of the provision of them for our own lives. We will never enjoy them in our own experience. So we go to Hebrews 10. Were we to teach and go into all of this chapter, there would be many things I'm sure we would find that are finished. I only want to enlarge on a couple of them here in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Go down to verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What in the world is he talking about, the first and the second? He is speaking of the first covenant. He must take away, or he must finish, the first covenant. It would be a reference to the law. Jesus had to finish the law. He had to meet all the demands and requirements of the law. We know that the law was broken. Therefore, Jesus had to fulfill the punishment that was due. And that is exactly what he did. He finished the law. He took away the first. But as we have seen over and over again, God never leaves a void. And so he finished the work. He took away the first that he might establish the second. The second is none other than the Abrahamic covenant, and it's simply a reiteration of what already exists. Abraham's covenant never did come to an end because the law was instituted. But I want to emphasize here that that covenant was established only because Jesus went to the cross. And so it is finished. It is finished that this covenant is established here, this new covenant. The law has been done away. The law is finished. But indeed, Jesus finished, as it were, the payment, the full price that this covenant of divine grace would be established. Notice further, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified. It's the will of this covenant. It's the purpose of this covenant, this new covenant that has been established, by the which will we are sanctified. That happened at the cross. Jesus guaranteed our sanctification at the cross. Sometimes people are a little bit leery, so to speak, or questioning, or some even fearful of the word sanctification. Don't be. Sanctification means he separates us unto himself. People often concentrate on what they're separated from. Those are things that are no good anyway. But let's concentrate on what he has sanctified us or separated us to. And the price for that, the reason we are sanctified, the reason we are separated, is because Jesus finished this work here at the cross of Calvary. It is finished. This covenant is now in full swing. It is in full operation. It is full provision of a full sanctification or separation unto the Lord. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. One sacrifice. It is finished. There is no reason for another. There is no room for another. It is finished. Jesus offered the one sacrifice that God required. It was, of course, to satisfy all of the needs of the law, but it was for the purpose of satisfying all the needs of God's government. God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The law had nothing to do with that. It is a Ten Commandments. The law he gave to Israel had nothing to do with that. It is God's government that had to be satisfied. When Jesus said, it is finished, he was saying that government is satisfied. God has absolutely nothing against you anymore. I've heard people say over and over and over again, oh, you'll go to hell for lying, you go to hell for stealing, you go to hell for this, you go to hell for that. No! There is only one sin that was not taken care of at the cross, and that is the sin of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will never be forgiven. And so anyone who accepts Christ, all sin for all time, it is finished at the cross. It is paid for. You can't do anything to add to that at all. We'll not turn to these, but I want to, you can write them down. They're just such beautiful verses. Hebrews 9:26. It again brings us back to this same thought. It is finished. It's complete. It's done. There is nothing left to do. Now, once in the end of the world, or the age. Talking about in the age of law. It was the cross that ended the age of law. It was the cross that ended the law itself. It was the cross that ended sin, as we find here. Now, once in the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin. It's just another way of saying to finish sin. And it was by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 1:3 says it this way. When he had by himself. There was no one else that could finish this. Why? Because it was a task that was assigned only to Jesus. And so when he had by himself purged our sins are finished. He sat down. Why? Because the job is done. There's nothing left to complete. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. It is finished. And now he can rest and sit down. Let us understand that the putting away of sin means exactly what it says according to the scripture. Sin is finished. That path is complete. Yet there's sin still in the world. And you see, here is where that we must understand that the cross laid the absolute foundation. This is the provision for the time when all sin will actually be annihilated and will be no more. The good news for us, we don't have to wait. This is what every Christian must understand. This is why I say it's important for you and I to take it to my own heart. Don't have to convince anybody else. Sin has been put away at the cross for the benefit of my own life right now. The provision is already there. You don't have to wait for someday, somehow. We can conquer. We must conquer. We must have dominion. We must have victory over sin right now. Romans 8:2 says it this way. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. It is already done. It is finished. I can claim that victory for any sin in my own life. Made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 6:14, we saw not many weeks ago. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. reason? Because sin is finished. It has no more power from the time of the cross. Jesus has put away that sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, just for our own information and edification, the full victory of sin being put away will not be fully realized until after the millennium is over. People will still die in the millennium. But guess what? Only unbelievers die in the millennium. Death has already been conquered for anyone who's believed on Christ. No believer will die on this earth during the tribulation, or during the millennium. That's because it is finished. And God has gained that glorious victory. Jesus has gained that glorious victory. Scripture is very clear. After the millennium is over, death will be cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because the sin that caused it is gone. It was conquered. It was taken care of. It was finished there at the cross of Calvary. One more for the message this morning. As I say, there are a great many things that it could be said, it is finished. Wonderful things that apply to our own personal victory and satisfaction and riches. Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews 2. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, and the children which God hath given me. Verse 14. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. And here is why. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now Jesus destroyed death, all right, as we've already seen, because he destroyed sin, put away sin. But here, it is finished. He destroyed Satan. And the scripture tells us that he had, as we read, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he was actually saying, "Satan is finished." Now, you and I very well know that he is still roaming around. He is still doing everything in his power to finish us. That's not going to happen. It is important for us to realize, it is imperative for us to realize that the victory over Satan happened at the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," this is the one of the things that he meant, is that Satan is finished. I have heard people down through the years speak very poetically concerning Jesus and how that after he died on the cross, then he went down to hell and he grappled with Satan to gain away these keys of the death and all of that. No, he didn't. Jesus was cast into outer darkness while he hung on the cross. Jesus suffered the pangs of hell, all the torment that unbelievers are waiting to endure. Jesus already endured that as he hung on the cross of Calvary. This is scriptural fact. It is also scriptural fact that after Jesus said, "It is finished," He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. And then he went to what is known at that time as paradise, or Abraham's bosom, or upper Sheol. It was the place. It was the abode of the righteous dead. Jesus went nowhere near what is called, men call hell at that time. And Satan could come nowhere near where he was. Jesus instead went according to the scripture, and he preached to those captive spirits in upper Sheol. Then he led captivity captive and took them back to heaven with him. And now then, upper Sheol, paradise, Abraham's bosom, whatever you want to call it, is in heaven with Jesus. So no, Jesus didn't go down and do any battle after he left the cross. The battle was fought, and the battle was won on the cross. That's why Jesus could say with such assurance, "It is finished." And so today it is so important that you and I understand. Jesus won the victory, that is, because of Calvary. Again, it is finished. Death is finished. Satan is finished. Sin is finished, and a host of other things. But let's just concentrate for just a moment on death and Satan. Saints still die according to men, but not according to God. They only sleep in Jesus, which means it's just temporary. And those who have lost loved ones, we're just waiting until they shall be raised up. Scripture says they'll be raised first. And then when we which are alive and remain shall join them or meet them in the air. But the same thing is true. This is the glorious victory we have because the battle against Satan and the battle against death is finished. And now we enjoy that wonderful victory. I love what Jesus said in Luke 10:18. This is after the 70 came back, after he sent them out two by two to minister and to witness. They came back just rejoicing. They were on a high, if you would, because even the demons were subject to us. And to that, Jesus said this. He said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." It meant that Satan was already a defeated foe. He had not at that time gone to the cross, but it was as good as done. Let everyone understand today that what Jesus saw there in Luke 10 has not happened even at this present hour. Satan is still in heaven. He will not literally be cast out until about 250 days before the middle of the tribulation week. But the same truth is here. He will be cast out. He will be cast down directly because it is finished. The battle against Satan, Jesus won it there at the cross of Calvary. And so as we come to this communion service, we once again are simply to remember what Jesus has already done. See, we didn't have anything to do with it. It's not by our accomplishment. It's not by our will. It's not by our purpose. It's not by our good intention. It's not by what we could do or couldn't do. It is because it is finished. Jesus finished all of God's plan of redemption there at the cross. And so today, as we come to this communion service, as always, we remember what Christ has done. And today, let us remember what only He has done. finished.